I've been in Matthew this week, and I was in Matthew 11, but then I thought, now this morning during worship, I thought he was going to have me go into Numbers, but then he took me, he's fun that way, to Exodus. And I really enjoyed 2 weeks ago. I think that's the longest message I've ever spoken in my life. I couldn't believe I was looking back, and I'm like, wow, that was me. I talked that long, because normally I'm like 10 and done, 10 minutes and I'm out, you know. And so it was pretty fun and not normal for me last week, so, or 2 weeks ago. And just thank you guys for last week. I'm sorry I couldn't stay for the dinner, but I appreciate you guys loving on us and appreciating us, and it really blessed me and Henny and Pearl and Linnea and Bill and Ann, I know. So I just want to thank you guys for that and for just loving on us, and hopefully you are feel loved as well back. So all right, so this morning I'm thinking these are going to tie together, and if they don't, then they don't. So all right. So I'm in Exodus chapter 1. Now, this is a story. The Israelites were in captivity, right? And the Egyptians were. I'm going to start in verse 11. Now, I'm in the Message Bible, so it says verse 11 to 14. So they organized them into work gangs and put them to hard labor under gang foremen. They built the storage cities, but the harder the Egyptians worked them, the more the Israelites had children everywhere. So the more they worked, the more children the Israelites had. All right. The Egyptians got so they couldn't stand the Israelites and treated them worse than ever. Crushing them with slave labor, they made them miserable with hard labor, making bricks and mortar and back-breaking work in the fields. They piled on the work, crushing them under the cruel workload. So I'm gonna. Here are the Israelites, okay, and they're in captivity, and the Egyptians are so angry with them that they're just increasing their workload. And if you keep reading, you'll see throughout, that they just were increasing the workload, and like just enslaving them more and more and more. And then I want to go to Exodus chapter 14. I'm going to go to verse 10. So now at this point, okay, God had heard the Israelites cry and sent Moses. And they had begun the journey out of the land of Egypt, okay? So here they are. As Pharaoh approached the Israelites, looked up and saw them, the Egyptians coming at them, they were totally afraid. 2 weeks ago, I talked about fear. I talked about how fear paralyzes us and how fear keeps us from fulfilling the destiny that God has for us, right? So they told Moses, now I want you to hear this. Weren't the cemeteries large enough in Egypt so that you had to take us out here in the wilderness to die? Fear, doubt, questioning. Even though they hadn't been out of slavery for very long, right? They hadn't been out. They were just on the journey. They were just beginning the journey. And the first thought that enters in when it appears to them that they are going to die, when it appears to them that this was a mistake, maybe, that leaving the land of Egypt was not maybe the right thing to do, they question Moses. What have you done to us, taking us out of Egypt? Back in Egypt, didn't we tell you this would happen? Didn't we tell you, leave us alone here in Egypt? Listen to this. We're better off as slaves in Egypt than as corpses in the wilderness. A slave mentality is what part of what the Egyptian or what the Israelites on this journey needed to be delivered from. It is not better off to be a slave. It is not better off to be crushed under the enemy's workload and under whatever it is that he has. It's not better. Even though the process out of the land of Egypt and the journey out felt like all they could see was death. It is not better. Here's what Moses' response was. Don't be afraid. Stand firm. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Stand firm and watch God do his work. Of salvation for you today. He's so good. Stand firm. Stop running. Just stand firm. Stand firm and watch. Watch his work of salvation for you today. Then he says, take a good look. He doesn't say look away. He says, take a good look at the Egyptians today, for you're never going to see them again. Take a good look at the ones that had you bound, that the ones that had crushed you under their workload. Take a good look at this enemy, because the God of salvation that has brought you out on this very day, take a good look, because he is going to deliver you from them. Ha! He is going to deliver you from them. If we will stand firm and look, he will deliver you and I. Because he's good, and slavery is not his intent. Slavery was never his intent. And we come out of slavery of the world and of sin and of death, and then we think we are slaves to him somehow. Somehow this slave mentality transfers, and it transfers from the world into Christianity, and we bring it into our Christian mindset or into that. There's something there that needs to break. There's something there that needs to break. Because if slavery is what he intended, he would have left us in Egypt. He wouldn't have answered their cry. But it's not his intent. His intent is the promised land. His intent is for us to live in the fullness of all that he has for you and I. But you can't live in the promised land with an Egyptian slavery mindset. That's what the journey out of and the process and all of the things that they had went through in the wilderness, all of that. Because you can't live in the promised land with an Egyptian mentality and have the fullness of all that he intended for you. God will fight the battle for you. The angel of God that had been leading the camp of Israel now shifted and got behind them. And the pillar of cloud that had been in front of also shifted to the rear. And the cloud was now between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel. And the cloud enshrouded one camp in darkness and flooded the other with light. And the two camps didn't come near each other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and God, with a terrific east wind all night long, made the sea go back. And he made the sea dry ground, and the seawater split. the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground with waters, a wall to the right and to the left, and the Egyptians came after them in full pursuit. Every horse and chariot and driver of Pharaoh racing into the middle of the sea. It was now the morning watch, and God looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud on the Egyptian army and threw them into a panic. He clogged the wheels of their chariots. They were stuck in the mud. It's time for our enemies to get stuck and us to get unstuck. Come on. Right? It is time. Ha, it is time for us to get unstuck. Stuck is not our intent. It's not our life. It's not how we were intended to live. We were intended to continually move forward. Growth. And growth means change. Right? We can't have growth without change. We can't do it. And I feel like there's times in our lives where we try to. Because change is uncomfortable. And sometimes we'd rather stay stuck than feel the uncomfortableness of change. But we weren't intended. Being stuck is for our enemy. Being stuck is for that, not for us. And Egypt says, run from Israel. God is fighting on their side and against Egypt. And so Moses stretched out his hand and they walked across, like, how crazy is that? Like, they had, the ground was dry. Like, not only did he split the sea, but he firmed up. I just imagine that the ocean bed is not like rock solid. I don't know. Maybe it is. I don't know. Makes for a better story if it's not. But but I'm just kidding. Kind of kidding. But all right. So this morning. Let's go to Matthew. Let's jump ahead and go to Matthew chapter 11. How are these going to tie together, Daddy? How are they going to tie together? Let's watch. Let's see. I want to go down to... in the message it says 20:25-26. All right, Matthew chapter 11. Abruptly, Jesus broke into prayer. Thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You've concealed your ways from sophisticates and know-it-alls, but spelled them out clearly to ordinary people. Yes, Father, that's the way you like to work. Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father-Son operation. Coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. This next line is just beautiful. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Now here's what I was thinking on this week, and here's where I believe the two tie together. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. Come recover us. Recover our life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. And that's what the Egyptians needed. They needed to be delivered, and they needed rest. They needed their life to be recovered. Walk with me, and work with me. Watch how I do it. This is beautiful, this next part. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Unforced rhythms of grace. There is nothing forceful in grace. It's this beautiful, flowing rhythm of the heart of God that extends out to each and every one of us. It's a rhythm that cannot be matched, that cannot be outdone, and that can just, if you will receive the rhythm of grace, it will begin to lead us out of those things that have kept us bound, and it will lead us into the promises and the fullness of who God is and who He is and who He desires each and every one of us to be. And this next part, it's all just good. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you, but do you know who will? Let me tell you who will. Let's look at the Israelites. Who put more workload on them? Who increased their workload? Who enslaved them? It was not God. It was the enemy. In the children of Israel, it was the Egyptians. On us, it's the enemy of our souls. It is the one who is out to kill, steal, and destroy. So if it's heavy, it's not Dad. Jesus said it, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. He's not Saul. Remember, guys, 2 weeks ago, Saul put his armor on David to go out and fight the giant? That was ill-fitting for David. It didn't fit him. But the slingshot and the stones, that fit David. And that's what he went out in. And I believe that's what this is saying. God is saying, I will not put something on you that is too heavy for you. I won't do it. That's not me. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Oh my goodness, what a concept. This Christian thing, whatever we want to call it, you mean I don't have to be weighed down and worried and just heavy laden, and I don't, wow, you mean like I can actually believe that what God has for me and that what His intent for me is not heavy? It's almost like we feel like we need to have this martyrdom mentality or something. Where did we get that? I don't know. But we don't have to keep it. That's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of mindsets and right, and growth. That's the beauty of growth. When you learn something new, you don't have to continue in the old. Oh, even though it may be uncomfortable and it may not be fun or it may not be easy. When we learn something new, we can put off the old and put on the new, which I believe that's in Scripture. Take off the old and put on the new. We were not created for the old. We were created for new. We were created for new. We were created for fullness. Are you tired and worn out? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Are you lifeless? Are you hopeless? Are you struggling? Get away with Him. And if He's the source of your disappointment, get away with Him and let Him know it. Oh, He's big enough. He can handle it. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That's attractive. That's what's attractive. People that you just love to be around them because they're easy and light and just, there's just something, right? I don't know where, misery loves company. I don't know where that came from because I don't like to be around that. I don't. And you guys, we have, a good Father whose intent is for us to live in an abundant life. Not just life. It's like life wasn't enough. But he says in his word that he came to give us life and life in abundance. We can't wrap our heads around that. We really can't. But that's his intent. His intent was for you and I. You know what isn't here? Let me tell you what his intent was. No one knows the Son. There is this unique Father-Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. Do you know that was his desire for you and I? The Garden of Eden, there was no separation. There was nothing but pure intimacy. And we can't wrap our heads around that because, right, because sin entered and it caused separation and all of this stuff came in. But that was his original design. His original design was for there to not be anything that separates us from him. That was his original design, and that is what we will be restored to. And I believe we can be restored to it here on earth. I believe, because here's why. Jesus wasn't keeping it to himself. He said, I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. And what is he willing to go over? The unique Father-Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. He's willing to go over with us line by line this Father and Son intimacy. Anybody willing to listen? Nobody's left out. Anyone that's willing to listen, he wants to let you in on it. He wants to let me in on it. No longer do I call you slaves. Oh, Jesus. No longer do I call you slaves, but I call you friends. For a slave does not know what his master is doing. But a friend is who you reveal your intimate things with. Jesus says, no longer do I call you slaves, but I call you friend. I call you friend because I want to let you in on everything that the Father and I are doing. I want to let you in on all of it. And then I want to let you in on it so that you'll let others in on it. Right? I want to let you in on it because I'm about letting everyone know. Anyone willing to listen, anyone out there that is a slave, I desire to call friend. That's his desire. Anyone willing to listen. We have such good news. We have such good news. So let's keep company with him. Let's keep company with him and learn to live freely and lightly. Right? He says, come and keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And 2 weeks ago, I was in Philippians 4. I want to remind you guys of that. Let's just go there quick. Well, not me. I got a new phone now. It's not going to work. Maybe we're not supposed to go to Philippians 4. No, I'm just kidding. Does anybody have the Bible app? Can I use? Thank you. Philippians. Yeah. Ah, here we go. Mine decided to work. All right. So Philippians 4:6. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, and compelling. Gracious, the best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. When there's things going on, and what the enemy likes to do is he likes us to focus on the negative. He likes to get our attention and our gaze, and he likes us to focus on, right, all of the negative. And what happens when we do that, then we begin to focus on that, and then we lose sight of who God really is. And we lose sight of what he, and then all we can see is that. And what we need to do is we need to shift that stuff over here, because you can't ignore it, right? I'm not talking about ignorance. I'm not talking about this blind faith. What I'm talking about is taking all of that, bringing it here, and putting it in front of God, and looking through it and seeing how big he really is, right? Because we can't ignore what's going on. There are things in the world that are going on, and we can't be ignorant of them, right? But we do not have to be drawn in, right? 2 weeks ago, we don't have to come under. We can be in the midst of, but we do not have to come under. We can be in the midst of, but we do not have to come under. And what happens when you begin to focus on the negative and you begin to come under that, then there's nothing positive. You can't even, like, it's like it's just this overwhelming, just blah. And that's what the enemy would like to do, is to get us to focus on the negatives. But here's what Paul is saying. He's saying, no. If something over here is this way and you want to see this, don't pray against this. Pray into this. Right? We used to kind of, you know, it was different. And that's what we knew. Right? And that's how we prayed, and that's what we learned. But now we're learning a new way. We pray into what we want to see. We pray into what God is saying. We pray into those things, and we focus on those things, and we keep our mind on those things. And those negative things, you're not ignoring that they're there. You're just saying, hey, you don't line up, and you are going to line up. You may not line up yet, but I am so intent on seeing this over here come into being that I'm not willing to settle, and I'm not willing to allow you to move me at all. I will not be moved. I will stand firm. And even though everything over here is staring me in the face, I choose to believe and pray into this and pray into what God is saying and to pray into what God is doing, even if I cannot see it. Because he is faithful and he is true and he is good. And 2 weeks ago, during worship, I declared that disappointment would not define us. And disappointment would not be what moves us or what shakes us. But life, hope, and love are what will define the body of Eastgate. Life, hope, and love. Life, hope, and love. Those three things. Life, hope, and love. And we will think upon and fill our minds with true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Because if we can see the treasure, if we can see the treasure in our enemy, wouldn't we pray different for him? If we could see the treasure and the value, it would be a different world. So this week, I just want to encourage you to, if there's things that, you know, just begin to pray the opposite. If there's things that you want to see happen that maybe aren't happening, just begin to speak those things. Begin to go before the Lord and you know, hey, this is what's going on, but this is what you say, and this is what I believe. And we, you know, 2 weeks ago, I said we need dreamers and we need visionaries. And the reason we do is because, right, with Moses was the visionary. Moses was the right, he went and he helped deliver them out. And the visionaries and the dreamers, they help deliver us out. Without vision, the people will perish. Without a vision, the people will perish, right? Because vision, why do you think the enemy attacks our visions and our dreams and our hopes? Why do you think he attacks that? Because he knows. He knows if he can bring in doubt and disappointment and hopelessness, that he knows if he can bring those in, that it will hinder us, it may paralyze us, it will definitely cause us to be stuck. And he knows when we're stuck, there's no growth, which means there's no change, which means you're just stagnant. And everyone knows the Dead Sea is stagnant, right? Because there's no outlet. It's stagnant because there's no outlet. We were not created to be stagnant. We were not created to not grow. We were created for growth, and growth comes when we're willing to embrace change, and we're willing to not only embrace it, but to receive it and then live it out and let it flow. Yeah, we're created for change. We're created for growth. We were not created to remain the same. We were not created to remain the same. Thank you, right? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that. Thank you that you desired something way more for us than we could ever desire for ourselves. So this week, I want to encourage us to, let's just let some people in on our secret, right? And that's a challenge to me, because it's not easy for me. But, yeah. It's, this whole thing is supposed to be light. Life isn't always light. But Jesus, he says, light and easy. My burden is easy and my yoke is light. So if you're yoked to something heavy, I would tell you you're not yoked to the right thing. That's what Scripture says. My burden is easy and my yoke is light. So if you're heavy, maybe you're carrying something you shouldn't be. Let him carry the heavy end. He's really good at it. I always give Henny the heavy end on stuff. Because his body was created for it. Mine, I can, but I don't want to anymore. Right? I don't want to carry the heavy end anymore. I don't have anything to prove. I mean, if I had a tank top on, you'd see these guns, but I don't. So, oh, sweet Jesus, I'm glad you guys love me. But right, guys, we have nothing to prove. We don't have to carry the heavy end. We don't have anything to prove to anyone around us or to Dad. We don't have to carry the heavy end anymore. He carries it so much better than we do anyway. He's just so good at the heavy. He's so good at the heavy. He is. Let him do it. He's so dang good at it. Just let him do it. Oh, he's really good at the heavy. And you can trust him. You can trust him to not drop the heavy end. I may drop it. Those around you may drop it. But he will never, ever, ever drop the heavy end. And the enemy may lie to you and may try to bring doubt, and he may try to bring division, saying, look at all the times he dropped the heavy end. Look at all the times he didn't come through. Look at all the times you believed and you hoped and you chose the right thing. And he dropped the heavy end. So, Daddy, I ask that right now, where the enemy has lied to us, where the enemy has tried to rob, to kill, to steal, and destroy a true perspective of you, the right perspective of you, where he has come in to distort our perspective of who you really are. I speak truth, and I speak revelation. I speak eyes to be open, ears to hear, and hearts to really fully know the truth. No more distorting, enemy. No more distortion into his children that would come to bring a wrong perspective of the Father. No more. No more. Daddy, I just love you. I just thank you. And Daddy, I thank you for clear vision. I thank you for clear perspective. I thank you for life, hope, and love. And those, Daddy, are the things that we will pray into and pray for and pray through and pray and just receive and release, Daddy. And those are the things that will motivate us, that will define us, that will move us from glory to glory. I thank you, God, that you do not desire us to be slaves any longer, but you desire us to live in the fullness of what you have for us. I just love you, and I thank you for your people. I thank you, God, for a people that love you and just desire more of you. And God, I ask that you just continue to pour out of who you are. You are so good, and you are so faithful, and you are so trustworthy. In your name, Jesus. Amen.